You may be seated. And now we are in for a real blessing. I had the pleasure of talking to our guest pastor for a couple of minutes before the service. And I know that any friend of our pastor, Matthew, is a friend of ours. Amen. And I'm excited about what God has placed on his heart to deliver to us. And at this time, I would like to introduce to everyone our guest pastor. His name is Misael Gonzalez. Amen.
Pues buenos días. Para mí es una bendición y un honor estar con ustedes porque ustedes son otra familia de fe mía. Y para nosotros aprender de la palabra de Dios es algo hermoso. And so good morning. My name is Misael Gonzalez and I'm bilingual. I speak English and I speak Spanish. And so I have an accent when I say my name. So when you hear me say Misael Gonzalez, I promise you I won't force you to say that accent. And so you can say Misael. Misael, that's my name. And I'm one of the pastors at First Baptist Church Owosso. But we also have a campus in Tulsa. And so I spend most of the time at our Tulsa campus. And what's so cool, it's like 7 minutes from here. So I was like, oh, this is awesome. It's like I'm with family. And so like I said, you guys are another family of faith that we get to open up God's word together. And I'm going to try to stand right here. I usually get really excited. And so like I like get on either side. But because of our individuals at home, hey, I want to be fair to you. So you can see me, not that there's anything great to look at. But this is awesome. So every time I meet somebody, I like to give fun facts. And so some of you I got to meet and just ask some fun facts. And so I want to share some fun facts with you, if that's okay. And so fun fact number one about me is that my whole family is from Mexico and Spain. And I'm actually the first one to ever be born in the United States. So I actually learned Spanish before ever learning English. And so I had to learn English in school. And so I hope my English is okay by now. So this is awesome. And so another fun fact I'd love to give you is that I technically should have been born dead or deformed. Dead or deformed. And it's a whole long story, but the long story short is that God saved me physically in my mother's womb. And I'm a living testimony that miracles still happen, that God is still working. And I'm just so grateful for him. Yeah, we can clap for that. That's amazing. And so he saved me physically in the womb. And then when I was 7 years old, he saved me spiritually. And I was like, Lord, thank you. And then when I was 16, God so clearly called me to the ministry. And so I'm so grateful to stand before you this morning. Like I said, it's a huge, huge honor for me. And so can I just encourage you for like 2 seconds? I'm going to encourage you for 2 seconds. I'm so grateful that I get to see your faces. I'm so grateful for this community of faith. I'm so grateful for this family of faith. Because you guys sitting right here, like look around for just like a moment. Just look around for a moment. You guys right here are a testimony that God is still at work in this place. You are a testimony that God is not finished here in one way or another with you, with this area. And so I just want to encourage you and say, keep going, because the Lord is good, the Lord is faithful. And I hope that this morning, I hope I get to be an encouragement, and I hope I get to just inspire us together to see what it looks like to create biblically sound and culturally relevant avenues for people to encounter the risen Lord, the risen Christ, because he is the Lord of all. And just like we sang, he's love. And so let's share that with him. So I hope I get to do that this morning with you guys. And so we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1. So I know for a fact that you guys have your Bibles. And so it's not if you have your Bibles, it's I know you have your Bibles. And so we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1. So as you get there to Colossians chapter 1, I just want to make sure you guys know that I love preaching verse by verse. This is called expository preaching. But today, I'm going to take a little bit different route. Doesn't mean we're not going to read the Bible. Doesn't mean we're not going to explain what the Bible says. But as I was praying about, Lord, what would you have me say? Lord, what would you say to these people, to this family of faith? He brought me to this moment of like vision casting. Almost. This vision casting and empowering and inspiring you guys. And so we're still going to read Colossians 1, but I just want to make sure You guys are aware of that. And so let me ask you a question right before we read chapter 1. How many of you pick a word or pick a phrase for the year of saying, I'm going to focus on this word for this year? Anybody? Anybody do that? Okay, so one of my friends, actually two of my friends, that's kind of crazy. So two of my friends actually got pregnant with twins this past year. And so I asked them, I said, hey, what's your word for this year? They said, well, I don't know which one to choose. Should I choose faith, endurance, or patience? And I said, I don't know, you should make a whole phrase of it and just say, I'm going to faithfully endure with patience. You know, like, I'm about to have twins. That's crazy. And I was like, well, that's true. That's true. And so some people, you know, create these phrases or these words to help propel them throughout the year. And so I'm hoping that maybe this morning there's a word or a phrase that you can latch onto and say, this word, this phrase, it's the one that's going to help me personally propel forward this year. Or maybe it'll help me and us as a whole congregation propel forward this year with direction, with action, with motivation. And so I love God's word. So if it's okay with you guys, let's stand up and let's read Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 1, actually. So starting in verse 1, it says this. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and the love that spring up from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been during among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who's a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Now, this is the word of the Lord, and praise be to God, and amen. And you may be seated. So a little bit of context on Colossians, just two little quick things to remember is that Paul has actually never met this church. He has never met the church of Colossae, and he's writing to them, and he's saying how much I love you, and I thank you, and I pray for you. And that's really interesting, because the second thing is that he only knows about Colossae because of Epaphras, this really weird guy's name, Epaphras, that he came, that he talked to Paul about what's going on. And so that's kind of a little bit of the context of what we see to keep in mind as we keep moving forward. And so here's kind of the textual idea of this passage, is that as Paul begins his letter to the believers in Colossae, he thanks the Lord for the work that he has done in them and through the obedience of Epaphras. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to take notes. And here's what I want you to write down as not just a sermon title, but as a sermon idea for us this morning. And it's this, a missionary mindset. A missionary mindset. That's what I want you to write down. The reason I say a missionary mindset is because as believers, we have this purpose. We have this mission. And really, this mission and this purpose is beyond ourselves. We're a part of a bigger story than ourselves, a bigger story than the four walls of our house, a bigger story of even this church, a bigger story of even this community. It's a bigger story because it's God's story about redeeming all people to himself, about bringing people from death to life. And as believers, we should be convinced of this. We should be passionate about this because the Lord is our Savior, our King, and he sits on the throne lifted and raised on high. And he is the one who is the commander of all things. And when I think about that, I want to have a missionary mindset of saying, Lord, I want to be someone who's a disciple who makes disciples who makes disciples. Because if you think about the definition of a missionary is a disciple maker across diverse cultures. You see, so many times we look at Matthew 28 that says, go and make disciples. But we forget to say, and teaching them everything which I've commanded. We get to read that, forget to read those other verses because we are to be teaching the true gospel about the true King, about the true Lord that is the only thing that actually transforms the lives of people. a missionary mindset. And so in verses 1 to 6, this is what I want you to write down as the first explanation point. Because I'm going to have two explanation points and roughly about six application points. And I promise we won't be here for an hour, but it's going to be good. And so the first explanation point is this. A missionary moves with discernment. A missionary moves with discernment. And we see this in verses 1 to 6. And so why do I say discernment? Why do missionaries move with discernment? Well, because missionaries, people of God, have the Holy Spirit inside of them. And I love how Paul starts out. He goes, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Paul starts off with such humility. Look at the humility. He identifies himself as a believer in Jesus, as an apostle of Jesus. And he doesn't say, by my will, by Paul's will. He says, by God's will. I think Paul, in just one little verse, teaches us that we are incomplete human beings without Jesus Christ. That something is not complete without him. And I just remember what Paul says even further on in chapter 1, that is through him, Jesus, by him, Jesus, and for him, Jesus, in which all things were created. And Jesus holds everything together. And I even love how the Spanish translates and reflects the Greek, where it says that por medio de él, todo continúa existiendo, which means that it is through Jesus and Jesus alone that all things continue to exist. How incredible is that? That our Jesus holds all things together. And that's what Paul is saying, is that it's God's will. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. And then that's actually really important as we look further, where he talks about Timothy. And then he talks about other people who are in Christ. He goes, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. You see, this whole phrase in Christ is so, so important for us. Because it is in Christ in which we are set free. It is in Christ that we put our faith and our trust as not just the Savior of the world, but the Lord of the world. And all of those who have put their faith and trust in him now have the Holy Spirit. And this is why missionaries move with discernment, because it's the Holy Spirit that guides. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us. And so this is one of the reasons why Colossae even heard of the gospel in the first place. Because it was Epaphras, this man Epaphras, that through the Holy Spirit was guided and led to go to Colossae and to go share the gospel with them. And Epaphras, he sought out the Lord's wisdom and discernment. And as I think about that, I mean, I have no idea how many people were in the church of Colossae. But think about missionaries. Sometimes missionary work is really slow. You know what I mean? It's so slow, and maybe we move slower than we want to. And maybe sometimes as missionaries, even with this missionary mindset, we're trying to move with discernment. Maybe it moves faster than we thought. It was like, oh my goodness, I thought five people were going to show up. Now there's 500. And then sometimes as missionaries, our job is to plant and then leave, or to plant and to grow it, or to plant and say, well, let's see what else we can do with this. Because God, this is how it worked this way during these years, but maybe during these other years it can look this way. And so as missionaries, we're to be flexible, because at the end of the day, we are to prayerfully and passionately seek the Lord, not just with our heart and our emotions, but with all of who we are and all of what he has given us. This is what we see in these verses, and I just want you to see how many times Paul says, God's people in Christ, the Lord Jesus in faith, the love from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, all indicating that it is all God's harvest and God's work. You see, I think one of the reasons that we can move with discernment is because God is the one who has moved the discernment first. I mean, think about it. In his divine discernment, God picked the fullness of time, the greatest of time, to send Jesus. And if you think of this in a historical view, I think it's so cool that Jesus came after Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was this great conqueror and this great king who really conquered the whole world historically in that time. And he implemented the Pax Romana. And you might be asking, Misael, what in the world is the Pax Romana? Hey, great question. The Pax Romana is really this thing where Alexander the Great implemented one currency, one language, one rule. And everybody spoke Greek. And then all of a sudden, all these people that lived out in the farmland now came into the city. And that's interesting because things and chatter move more quickly when people are together. And so it's just so fascinating to me of how God in his divine discernment came at the perfect time to share the gospel with us. And so as missionaries, we must move with God's discernment as we build a missionary mindset in our minds. We must. And so here's our first application point. We looked a little bit at the text. Here's the first application point. As missionaries, we must infiltrate. Or you could say missionaries must infiltrate. So what do I mean by this? When we do ministry, we do it in the context of culture, the context of language, because we don't live in this cultural vacuum. You know what I mean? And if anything, I think there's a Christological mandate for us to do ministry in this context of culture and of language, because isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus came down to our culture to communicate with us in a way that we could understand. Paul, whenever he went to different cities, he communicated in their language and in their culture, which means that for us, we are to enter the city. We must infiltrate the city, infiltrate the community, trying to understand the culture as best as we can, trying to enter and to learn. And in our context right now, we have to remember, we're kind of living in these postmodern, like post-Christian times. It's very interesting, where people just really don't even care about anything to do with God and anything spiritual. It's so fascinating. And you see, we have to understand people and culture and the world and the country and the state and the city and the community and our neighborhood and our home. Because when we understand those things, we understand how to communicate the best way possible. Communicate the greatest message in the world about the greatest king in the whole world who's ever lived. And you see, sometimes we ask ourselves, well, how do we enter that culture? How do we enter that community? How does our church truly enter into a community that we just don't really know? Well, I want to suggest a couple things. We need to see it. Not just see it, we need to know it. And not just know it, we need to understand it. And not just understand it, but we need to be a part of it. You see, I'll illustrate this with my own church. You know, my church is First Baptist Church of Owosso, and we have a campus in Tulsa. And I've been trying to explain to them how our demographics are like 78 to 80% Latino, which means about 78 to 80% bilingual. And I said, we have to be able to communicate to this community through Facebook, through Instagram, through the signage, through all of that. And so our senior pastor was like writing up a little document. He goes, okay, you know, we need to communicate through these things of Facebook. And so he began to name Facebook groups. Like there's one called the Wassoisms, one's called like Buy, Sell, and Trade. And he'd remembered, I told him about these Facebook groups that communicate in Spanish, but he didn't remember the names. So he said, well, I'll just call it Hispanic Social Media Group. I remember seeing that and I was like, oh, his name's Chris. And I was like, oh, Chris. I was like, dude, what you're telling me is that you see it, but you don't know it, you don't understand it, and you don't want to be a part of it. And I was like, Chris, I'm just letting you know, I'm here. That means we see it, we know it, we understand it, and we're going to be a part of it. And he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Will you remind me of those Facebook pages again? And I was like, yes. And I was like, they're called the Pulga de Tulsa, they're called Mamis en Casa. And he goes, okay, I'm so sorry. But you see, those are some really practical things for us, that as missionaries, we are to see it, know it, understand it, so we can be a part of it. That's how it is. We have to think like missionaries. And so here's the second application that we see from this text, is that not only do missionaries infiltrate, but missionaries must communicate. Missionaries must communicate. You see, I already said about communicating the greatest message about the greatest king, but the reason I say that is because the gospel is what we communicate. We love all people to Christ. We communicate it in a way that they can understand. We need to communicate to them about their sin, and that if they really want to follow Jesus out of the grave, they must be willing to follow Jesus into the grave. There's a whole difference there of saying we must die to self, because it is when we follow Jesus into the grave is when we will one day follow him out of the grave. And when we communicate this, we must know what we're communicating. We must believe what we're communicating. We must trust what we're communicating with individuals. And this is what leads me as I look at this passage and as I look at our cultural context. I think we have to do ministry in the context of language. Because right now, if I started speaking Spanish, you'd probably like wave your hand and say, you know what, Misael? You can just get out of here because we're not communicating. But that's why it's in the context of language, because cultural barriers can be, they can be crossed. And the reason I know it can be crossed is because you guys can eat some tacos and I can eat some chicken fried steak. All right? I'm just saying. Cultural boundaries can be crossed. And the gospel is so powerful. The gospel is so powerful that Paul, though never going to Colossae, he said, hey, family, I love you. Hey, family, I think of you and I pray for you. That's how powerful the gospel is. You see, I think of the times that I've went to Nepal or to Mexico or to even Israel, and I meet believers. And what's so incredible is that we are united because of the power of the Holy Spirit, because of the power of the gospel. And I look at them and I say, well, though we don't have the same blood, we were bought by the same blood. Though we don't have the same blood of I'm Latino and you're Israeli, we were bought by the same blood of Jesus. We are under the kingship and lordship of Him, and we are one family with one Lord, with one God, with one Spirit, with one mission. Because He is our Lord, and we are to be these missionaries for Him. And, you know, sometimes when I preach on this passage, I have to look at people and say, hey, I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry if maybe you've grown up in church or you've been told so many times that you don't really have to have a missionary mindset. And you know what? It's just easier to give to missions rather than be on mission. And I don't know if I have to say that this morning, but if that's you, I'm sorry. If people have made it easier for you to just give to missions rather than be on mission, and I want to encourage you to teach your children and your grandchildren, guys, there's so much beauty of being on mission rather than just giving to it. There's a need to give to it. But what did it look like to give our lives to the mission? So we've seen that missionaries must infiltrate, missionaries must communicate. And this third application point is that missionaries must replicate. Missionaries must replicate. You see right here, you have Paul who addresses, he's like, hey, Timothy's with me. Timothy, my guy. And the thing is that Timothy is this younger sidekick of Paul that walks with him, that Paul teaches him. And you see, we must replicate ourselves, and that's what Paul was doing. And when we think about this, I want you to notice what this passage says. What this passage says, it doesn't say that salvation is spreading through the whole world. What does it say? It says that the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. It doesn't say salvation, it says the gospel. And I think this has great implications for us. And you might be asking, why? Why? What's the difference? Why gospel and not salvation? You see, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus and we turn away from our sin and we surrender to Him, there's so much more that happens. Because we're not just saved from something. We are transformed into something. We're not just saved from something. We are transformed into something. We're not just saved from sin, but we are transformed into saints, because we are new creations. We are born again. We are set apart. We are now adopted into this family through faith by grace, and it's just amazing. And this leads me to believe that as children of God, we are disciple makers, not decision makers. We are disciple makers and not decision makers, because we must replicate. We must make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And I'll be honest, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that in our churches across the United States, we have accidentally fallen into something called a salvation culture rather than a gospel culture. Because we see right here a gospel culture in this text, not a salvation culture. So you might be asking me, Misael, what's the difference? What's the difference between a salvation culture and a gospel culture? Well, here's the dangers. I think a salvation culture focuses on someone just making a decision. Salvation culture focuses on someone just making a decision And what they do is they pray this prayer and they walk away thinking, man, I can get out of hell now. Rather than saying, I've entered a beautiful relationship with a God Almighty. There's a difference. So salvation culture focuses on someone making a decision. A gospel culture affirms the salvation that we have in Jesus, but it takes it a step further, saying he's not just Savior, but he's Lord. And now you're not just someone who's a decider, but you're a disciple following behind Jesus. And so this whole passage points to a gospel culture rather than a salvation culture. And here's why I'm afraid. I was at a coffee shop a couple weeks ago, and I was there just drinking my coffee. And I was drinking tea. I'm not really a big coffee drinker. I was there drinking my tea, and I met this girl. This girl was probably around like 21, 22, and her name was Aurora. And I just like to meet people. I'm a big people person. So I was like, hey, what's going on? And so we start talking, and she goes, yeah, my name's Aurora, this and this and this. And I was like, wow, that's a fascinating name. Like, tell me about your name. So she started telling me about her name, and she talked about how her family were Baptist and how they went to church and all of that. And I said, oh, that's so cool. Tell me your testimony. Like, you know, you said you went to church. Like, do you have a testimony? She goes, yeah. She's like, you know, I know Jesus. He's a good guy. And I was like, okay. And she's like, that's it. That's all I got. It's awesome. And I was like, so did you like walk down the aisle and like pray? She goes, yeah. I did all of that. You know, it's a great decision. Great decision. And I was like, and then what does your life look like? Oh, you know, I just kind of do whatever I want. This is great. You know, my family goes to church. I haven't really gone to church in a long time. And I just sat there and I was like, my goodness. I was like, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for making people think that all I have to do is just make a decision. But we are to be disciples, and that's what we are called to do. We're to be people with this missionary mindset in this gospel culture who make disciples in a way that they can understand. And some of that is with language, and some of that is with culture, and some of that is just with body language, a little smile and a thumbs up. So that's what we see. So in verses 1 to 6, we saw that a missionary moves with discernment. So here's our second explanational point about this passage. A missionary moves with direction. A missionary moves with direction. Look at verses 7 and 8 with me. It says this, "You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit." You see, a missionary moves with direction. And what direction do missionaries move in? What is the goal of a missionary? You see, we can point to Jesus, we can point to Paul, but here we're talking about Epaphras. So how about we just look at Epaphras and say, what was Epaphras' goal as a missionary? Well, I want us to turn to Colossians chapter 4. So turn to Colossians chapter 4, and I want you to look at verse 12 with me. Paul right here highlights the goal of a missionary, the goal of someone who has a missionary mindset. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you, and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis." Check this out. He is wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. You see, the goal of a missionary is to present people fully mature to the Lord. I mean, this is what Paul said even in verse 28. You can even look at verse 28 where Paul says, man, I see my job as being one who teaches, who admonishes, who confronts people in order to present them fully mature to the Lord. This is what we are to do as missionaries, that we are to live in such a way like Epaphras, live in such a way to teach people how to stand firm and mature in faith. And I can assure you that Epaphras probably learned that from Paul. And Paul probably learned that from Jesus. And so we can even look at Jesus and say, how did Jesus move with direction? How did he move with purpose? How did he move with a goal in mind? You see, Jesus did come with a goal to make a way for us. Make a way for us, the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, you see, I went to Israel and some people thought I was Palestinian. Some people thought I was Jewish. I'd say my name in Spanish. They'd be really confused. And then I speak in English. They'd be more confused. Because who is this, like, Palestinian, Jewish, Spanish-speaking, English-speaking American? Like, they were just so confused. And the thing is that as missionaries, it doesn't matter where we're from. It doesn't matter who we are. We have been bought by the blood of Jesus. He's made a way for us. And here's what I find so interesting about Jesus. Jesus took his time. Jesus took his time. Why didn't he just like come, die, and then leave? Why was he here for 33 years? And why was it only those three and a half years ministry? Jesus took his time, and it's interesting because Jesus had a plan. He was plan A the whole time. And what I like to say is that where there's a plan, there's a way. Where there's a way, there's hope. Where there's a plan, there's a way. Where there's a way, there's hope. And you can even add on that where there's a plan, there's direction. You see, we see this in Jesus' life that he moved with direction to make disciples, and he had an inner circle with Peter, James, John, and sometimes Andrew. And then he had other concentric circles. Jesus took his time to pour his life into people, to pour his life into those around him. And we see Paul doing the same thing with Timothy and with Silas and with Luke a little bit. We see this with Epaphras and how he's pouring out his heart in prayer for the people. Because that's what it says. He's like, he's pouring out his soul to you in prayer. And so what should we long for as people who should be walking in a missionary mindset? Well, if you think about it, we should be people who long to see people go from spiritual babies to spiritual adults, or spiritual kids to spiritual teenagers. And that's one of my questions this morning. Have you done that? Are we doing that? And why have we stopped? You see, we are to be a people who want to see and long to see people mature in their faith. And so I just hope that as believers in Tulsa, that we wouldn't stop doing that. That we wouldn't stop pouring into individuals, because though we long to see 500,000 people come to know the Lord, those 500,000 people need to be discipled. And so let's disciple one person at a time as we get there. Because the Lord asked me a tough question whenever I was studying for this. He goes, Misael, who would you be able to present fully mature to me? And I was like, whoa, God, back it up. Hold on. And I had to think, and I was like, man, it wouldn't be very many. And he goes, it's okay, take your time. Take your time. And I said, okay, God. And so that's what we see in this passage as an explanation. And so I want to give you three more applications from this. So we've seen that missionaries must infiltrate, communicate, and replicate. The fourth thing is that missionaries must cultivate. Missionaries must cultivate. So what must we cultivate, you might ask? We must cultivate places and spaces for people to encounter the risen Lord Jesus. We must cultivate these things. And really, it doesn't just mean events. You know what I mean? It doesn't just mean throw a big party. It means, what do we do in our homes to invite people in, to cultivate a relationship, to cultivate an area for them to encounter the true and risen King Jesus? Because they can do that right in their home. I mean, they can do it in church too. But again, we live in this postmodern, almost post-Christian world where the gospel travels as fast as relationships. And so I'm hoping that with COVID kind of settling down a little bit, that people would be so willing to get an invitation from a friend, an invitation from a somewhat known person and say, hey, let's just talk. I'd love to know what's going on in your life to hopefully build a bridge to a gospel conversation. You see, because I truly believe that our job is to create these avenues, these places and spaces to encounter Jesus. Because if the whole goal of salvation and the whole goal of Jesus was to be in heaven, don't you think we would have been like zapped up to heaven as soon as we put our faith and trust in him? I find that fascinating. But there's a purpose and a reason that we're here. There's a purpose. We haven't been zapped up yet. You know what I'm saying? That's our job, to cultivate these things. And, you know, I hope that we continue to be intentional with these moments in our home, these moments with our people, because we need people to encounter the true gospel. But here's the difficulty. We sometimes want to do this in our community. We say, Misael, I can't speak the language of this community. What do I do? Misael, I can't speak Spanish. What do I do? Like, I want to invite these people to my home. What do I do? Can I just tell you, a smile and an acknowledgement of existence goes a long, long way. In this community, there's so many people that feel so invisible because they're like, I'm not what's considered normal. I'm actually not from around here. And so a simple consideration of existence goes a long, long way. Because it is true that this whole community is 80% bilingual, meaning 80% Latino. And what we're about to see is that means that parents and grandparents speak Spanish, but kids and grandkids speak English. So it's like this whole bilingual family of faith. And so what can we do with that? How can we take advantage of these bilingual families? Well, that goes to our next application point, that missionaries must generate. Missionaries must generate leaders and develop leaders. And so you know what we can do? We can develop bilingual leaders to be people who take the gospel to their people, to take the gospel for the glory of God and the benefit of others. Because let me tell you something crazy. I went to OBU, which is Oklahoma Baptist University. And me and this other guy named Pablo, we are two of the only bilingual people to graduate from the theology department in the past 20 years. 20 years. Which blows my mind because there are 300,000 Latinos and counting coming to Oklahoma City and Tulsa, and nobody's really sharing the gospel with them in a way that they can understand. But what helped me is that I had people, yes, I speak Spanish, but I also speak English, I think. I had people pour into me, though they didn't speak Spanish. They poured into me, who I'm a second generation Latino in the United States. And now, because of the way that they poured into me in English, I can now communicate that in Spanish. And so I hope that we are able to identify leaders so they understand that when it comes to church or when it comes to the grace of God, we're not just spectators of the grace of God. We are participators in the grace of God. We participate in that and we walk, and we need people to rise up. We need people to pour into. And so there's so much that we can do, though we maybe don't speak the language. There's so much that we can do to pour into the kids, pour into the teenagers, because it is just now that my generation is coming up and rising up as bilingual leaders in the faith. And so then here's our very last application point, very last one. Not only do missionaries cultivate and generate, but missionaries must anticipate. Missionaries must anticipate. And I can already hear the questions. Misael, what do we anticipate? What is it that we're anticipating? It's the day of the Lord. We anticipate that the Lord is coming, that the Lord has promised that he will come back a second time in full glory, and that Philippians 2 will come to be a reality, that every knee, every tongue, every nation will bow at the name of Jesus. That every single person will proclaim that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. And you know what I like to say? If that's going to happen later, I kind of want to see it happen now. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see people of all tongues, of all nations, of all tribes bow down before King Jesus now. Because when that happens later, it's too late. Way too late. So I want to say, God, you are a sending God. And we could point to all these places in Scripture where God has sent. He has sent his presence. He has sent his provision. He has sent leaders. He's even sent plagues. He sent the law. He sent the prophets. He sent his son, and he sent his spirit to be with us. And you know what else he sends? He sends us. He sends us. And that doesn't just mean everywhere. He sends us here, there, and everywhere. He allows us to pray for all those here, there, and everywhere. That's what he does. And so as we've looked at this passage, I hope that you've just been, I don't know, maybe inspired of saying, Lord, use me as a missionary right here. Use me as someone who can pray right here. Lord, use us as a body of believers to come together at your table and to feast, to bring other people to your table. And so here are a couple ending questions. Are you willing to ask God to build in you a missionary mindset? Are you willing to ask the God of all creation, the creator, the redeemer, the sustainer of all things, to build in you a missionary mindset? And then maybe here's a harder one. Are you willing to put your yes on the table as a person, as a family, as a congregation? Are you willing to put your yes on the table and see what God does? Are you willing to put your yes on the table and say, Lord, we want to move with direction. We want to move with your discernment. God, because we want to use all of who we are and all of what you've given us for your glory. For your glory and for the benefit of others. If your answer to these questions this morning is yes, man, I want to ask you to be prayerful, to pray and to say, Lord, this morning, God, I want to build a missionary mindset. This morning, God, help me do that. This morning, please open my eyes to maybe the blind spots that I have to where I can be a better missionary. And then, maybe there's someone in here that's like me, said, I really don't want to build a missionary mindset. I just really don't. I would love for you to ask yourself why. Because God commanded it. And Jesus is deserving of it. And people's eternity, it's worth it. It's worth it. So I want to take a moment and pray. Take a moment to pray for you, pray for us. So let's bow our heads together. Lord, I'm so grateful for your word. Lord, I'm so grateful that we get to participate in your grace. We get to participate in your mission. Jesus, you are better. Lord, you are better than everything in this world because it is through you and by you and for you in which all things are created. And so, Lord, as the Almighty King, would you please build in us a missionary mindset? Lord, that we would put our yes on the table and see what you do with it. Lord, that we'd be missionaries that would be willing to infiltrate and communicate and do all of these things in your name for your glory. God, nobody compares to you. And may we wake up every single day saying, I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings. May we be a people who take the gospel to those around us here, those across from us there, and those around the world, which is everywhere. Lord, I pray for this congregation, God, that you would bless them, that you would direct them, that you would give them discernment every step of the way, knowing that you are so faithful to be with them by your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that they would find comfort in you, that they'd find refuge in you. Lord, that they would find peace in you, and that they would be refreshed by you. Lord, thank you for how you have crowned them with glory, like Psalms 8 says. That you have crowned them with glory. I pray that you bless the work of their hands, the steps of their feet, the thoughts of their mind, the feelings of their heart. God, thank you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.